Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. So writes Matthew. And what we have here is the beginning, the tease, the dangling of a story yet to be unfurled. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. And Matthew, pen poised above parchment, signals to us something is coming, some events or happenstances, something worthy of the telling, something worth your time. Matthew writes, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. And we sit up asking, which way? What happened? What makes this birth different from others? Matthew begins, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. And he goes on to write of angels and dreams, of the Holy Spirit and human flesh, of a prophecy and a naming, of a young woman, a girl, really, who's in a jam, and of a man who, though mortified, yet manages to do by her the right thing. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. And with that, Matthew launches into a story we tell to this day, a story that circles the world around, a story that has become the stuff of the world's greatest art and architecture. Were it not for what unfurls from this story, there would be no Chartres Cathedral, no Sistine Chapel with its frescoes by Michelangelo, no Ave Maria by Mozart, no Christmas carols, no Old South Church choir, no Reverends June Cooper or John Edgerton. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way, writes Matthew. And what has happened since then, over the past 2,000 years since the story came to pass, is that millions and millions and millions of people have adopted this story as their story and adopted this family, the family of God and Jesus, of Moses, of Joseph and Mary, as their family. And this church is here. You are here, most of you anyway, because you too have adopted this story, signed onto it, opted into it, jumped in with both feet, not to mention with heart, mind, soul, and strength. I imagined this story, the story of Christianity, the story of a babe sent by God from heaven. I imagine it as a gentle yoke or an easy harness worn by us. You climb into it, you put it on, you buckle yourself in. And then, as with Christians throughout the world and across time, the story that began long, long, long ago, the story that began with the birth of Jesus, that self-same story, it continues. It continues to unfurl in and through you and your life. Strapped in, buckled in, you fastened to this story, and this story fastened to you, you pull it along. And this week, 12 people are joining this church as members. One last Thursday at jazz worship, 3 at first worship this morning, another 8 in a few minutes, 12. A good biblical number, indeed a sufficient quantity under the leadership of Jesus to change the world for all time. There's a lot depending on you. Each of these persons in joining this church steps into this yoke. Each takes up the harness of the story of Jesus and with us helps to carry it forward. And here's a question that was asked last Sunday, pondered by those in our new member class and others. People wanted to know, so why join? Why not just attend? What's the point of joining? What do members get from membership that non-members don't? Or put in a different way that it wasn't put by this group, what are the benefits of membership? There's some practical answers to that question. Members can vote to sell and buy the church property and hire and fire the ministers. And speaking for myself, I think the power to fire the ministers is a big deal. And this, it was a very big deal indeed when, 5 years ago, in 2013, the members of this church, members only, mind you, voted to sell an old book in which we were in possession, a book printed on this soil in 1640, a book that became on the day of its sale and remains today the most expensive book in the world, selling for $14.2 million. Now, I don't like to tell this story without also mentioning that while we sold that book, which is today the most expensive book in the world, we sold the lesser of our two copies. We kept the better one. For those of us who are here leading up into that event, and many of you were, it was an extraordinary experience, a decision, a time of discernment, a listening, a praying, an asking of God, what shall we do? Today, the money from that sale churns in our endowment, fueling ministries of mercy, justice, and beauty every day of the week. The members of this church did that. Non-members don't get to make that kind of consequential decision in the life of this church. So that's one answer to the question, why join? What makes a member different from a non-member? There are other answers less fiduciary in nature, but no less consequential. Think, if you will, of marriage vows. Two people don't have to get married. They can live together without vows. What do the vows add? As with church membership, there are technical, even fiduciary advantages, like how you file for taxes. But the less technical, less fiduciary answer is this. Through marriage vows, two persons make a public proclamation, a confession, that they belong to each other, and that in some mystical and marvelous way, the two that they were become one. Their two families adopt each other. They have to reconsider how to do holidays and where, whose birthdays to acknowledge, whose babies to celebrate, whose funerals to attend. Church membership is not unlike that. It's about opting into a particular family, making public vows, and adopting that family's traditions and celebrations. It is about proclaiming to the world that in some marvelous and mysterious way, you belong to this family of faith, and we belong to you. In some marvelous way, the Fishers and the Billings, the Navias and the Cooks are part of a family that goes back to Ben Franklin and Sam Adams, not by blood, but by our profession of faith. We celebrate our holidays together. We attend funerals together. But more than that, day by day by day by day, we willingly strap ourselves into a very particular, ever-unfolding story, a story of angels and dreams, of the Holy Spirit and human flesh, of a prophecy and a naming, the story of a young woman, a girl, really, who's in a jam, and of a man who, though mortified, yet manages to do by her the right thing. It is the story of a babe sent to earth from heaven, a babe whose story is itself a bridge, passage, tying heaven to earth and earth to heaven. And honestly, to those of us who have opted in, whose new relations bear names like Ezekiel and Amos, Deborah and Miriam, Hannah and Priscilla, Moses, Lazarus, and Zechariah, whose dreams are visited by magi, whose worldview is colored by parables, whose imaginations entertain angels, and who, despite all evidence to the contrary, hold fast to the prospect of peace on earth and goodwill among all people, to we who have opted in, who once upon a time got to sell the most expensive book in the world and transform it into Christian ministry, to us, The story that Matthew unfurls in this most holy season is nothing less than the greatest story ever told. It is into this story, into the unfurling of it, that Jamie, Katya, Mary and Jennifer, Stephanie, Sarah, Brad and Connor now commit. My friends, would you come forward?